Okay, we're starting at the top of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the statement of Rav, which was Am Yudah Marav, Avodat Kochavim Shobdim Otova Makel, about a Zohar that they worship with a staff, which is that they used to tap the staff on the ground in front of it. Then, Shavar Makel Bifanei, if he breaks the, or Shibar Makel Bifanei is Chayav, if he breaks the staff in front of his Chayav, Zarak Makel Bifanei is Patur, if he throws the staff in front of it, he is patur. And the differentiation we saw that Rav explains is that you break the makel, that's similar to zvicha. Whereas when you throw the makel, that is not similar to zrika that was done on the mizbeach, because zrika on the mizbeach was zrika mishaberet, something that diffused, dispersed. When you sprinkled it, here the makel stays intact when it's thrown at the avodah zarah. So now the Gemara wants to say on the top of the ground, for now, third line down, lema katnai. Let's say the statement of Rav is really a machloket tanaim, because shachat lachagav, he goes ahead and he shechs a grasshopper or a locust in front of the avodah zarah. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav for worshiping avodah zarah. Chamim poturim. Chamim say you patur. My love, b'hakam miflegei. This is what they're arguing about. The marsav aminan ke'in zvicha, that all you need is similar to the zvicha. Over here, you shechted the animal, and you killed the animal, you did something similar to breaking the makel, and that's sufficient. That being sufficient makes you chayav. That would be the position of Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Marsavar lo marinin kein zvicha, ela kein pnim. That we don't just say that's enough that you do zvicha or similar, you do something that's similar to the action of shechting the animal internally. Ela, you also have to do kein pnim. It has to be similar to what was done inside the mikdash. Inside the mikdash, they did not shecht grasshoppers or locusts, they only shechted behemoth. Now, we would not say or suggest over here that you have to go as far as to say that it's only animals that were brought on the mizbeach that you'd be chayav for, but it would have to be an animal that normally was subject to shechita, at least. It could be a bird, it could be fowl, it could be other chayot. But over here, at least if you do a shechita on them, that's the normal way that you would treat or kill those animals. If, on the other hand, we're talking about a grasshopper whose the methodology or the method by which you normally kill the grasshopper is not shechita, so then over there, that would not be classified as ke'en pnim. Tosus points out, we pointed out this yesterday, even Rashi says, even though ein darka bekach, whether even though that when we're talking about shechting the grasshopper, this is not the normal way of avodah, of this avodah zarah, Tosus pointed out yesterday the same thing with regards to the Tzoah, where Rashi said, Afilu ein avodata b'kach, that you still have to say that there's some sort of association between the avodah zarah and this grasshopper, or this avodah zarah and the Tzoah. And if it had no relevance to the avodah zarah whatsoever, then how could you connect between them? You can't connect between two items, meaning that we can have a avodah, like breaking the makel in front of an avodah zarah, where you normally worship it through a makel. But to break a makel in front of any avodah zarah will not be kein zvicha, because there's no relevance of the staff to the avodah zarah. The same will be true here. The grasshopper has to have some relevance to the avodah zarah, otherwise it's not meaningful that he shechs a grasshopper in front of the avodah zarah. Nevertheless, what we see here, or what the Gemara is trying to establish here, is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim with regards to what is the qualification for something to be classified as being a generic avodah, or generic zvicha that is brought in front of an item. So we have Rabbi Yehuda saying that just you need kein zvicha, something that's similar to what they did in the Mikdash, which is here they shecht it. So also here, when they killed the grasshopper, or shechted the grasshopper, that's the same thing they did bifnim, that's enough. That's enough to be classified, just like Rav said by the makel. Breaking the makel is equivalent to shechting the animal. On the other hand, the Chachamim are going to say that you have to do not only kein zvicha, but kein pnim. And not only has to be enough that it is zvicha, that it's shechting, but it has to be similar to something that was done inside the mikdash. There you're shechting animals that are normally shechted. So that would be the machlokes tanaim. The Gemara says, lo, dukule amra, lo amrinan kein zvicha, lo kein pnim, beina. No, everybody holds that you don't say kein zvicha. And even by the makel, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're patur. So now, nobody has the positioning, this price, at least position of Rav, because Rav required, doesn't have this requirement of Ke'im Kanim. But here we're going to say, lo, the Kuliyam Alor, meaning Ke'im Zvichal, Ke'im Kanim, being on, we do need it exactly like it was done inside the Mikdash. Vashani chagav. So what's unique about a chagav? Ho b'tzavaro domeh b'tzavar behema. That the neck of the grasshopper locust is similar to the neck of a behema. So that's our question over here. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. How similar do we need it to be to Ein Panim, like it was inside the Mikdash? Do we need something that is similar, like a behema, or a bird, or fowl of some sort, or even a grasshopper, which normally is not shechted, but since its neck looks similar to the neck of a behema, when you shecht it, it's as if you shechted a behema, and it's going to Ein Panim. So that'll be the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim over here. Now, that will obviously not involve Rab, because they will be, both of these opinions would be against what Rab's position was before. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bar Avua, Amar Rav. So now we have a new statement based on Rav. I mean, before we had Rav Yehuda giving a statement in the name of Rav. Now we have Rav Nachman, Rav Bar Avua, Amar Rav, which is Avodat Kochavim She'ovdim Ota B'Makel. Avodat Zara that is worshipped through a Makel, Shavar Makel Bifaneha. He breaks the makel in front of it. Chayav v'ne eseret. Not only is he chayav, but he's also becomes asur. This item becomes asur. Zarak makel lefaneha. He throws the makel before it. Chayav. He's still chayav. V'eina ne eseret. But he is not, that does not make it asura. So now what you have over here is a statement by Rav Nachman Bar Avua that is somewhat different to what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav distinguished between breaking the makel and throwing the makel. When you broke the makel, you were chayav. When you threw the makel, you were patur. Over here, Rav Nachman Amar Rav says you're chayav in both cases. Whether you broke the makel or threw the makel, you are chayav. The distinction that he's making between throwing the makel and breaking the makel is whether it's asura or not. When you break the makel, it's asura. When you throw the makel, it's not neser. So I'm going to lay Rava, the Rav Nachman. So before Abaye had asked Rava to explain the statement, now Rava is asking Rav Nachman to explain this statement. Amrali Rava Rav Nachman, Maishna Shiber. What's the difference between breaking? Davila Kein Zvicha. That's similar to Shechting. Zarak Nami, Avila Kein Zvicha. So too, the throwing of the Makel, similar to the Zvicha Bifnim. Amrali, Be'in and Zvicha Mishtaberet Veleka. That you require a Zvicha that is diffuses or disperses, and that doesn't happen by the Makel over here. So it's interesting that later on, when Abaye asked Rava about this, Rava gave him that answer. I'm assuming that Rava got this from Rav Nachman, and then when Abaye asked Rava about it, he gave him the same answer that Rav Nachman had given to Rava. So Gemara says, okay, well, if that's the case, Elamiata, Avnei Beit Markulius. Right? So when you're talking about Markulius, Bamei Yesru, why are they Asur? So he says, Amalei, after the D, Kashali, I had that same question. I had that same problem. Why? We are throwing the rocks at the Markulis. True that that's Avodotabakach, that's the way they normally worshipped it, but you are lacking Ke'ein Zvicha, you are lacking the Ke'ein, what was done in the Beit HaMikdash, because the rocks are not being broken. If you remember yesterday, Tosfos mentioned the fact that if you break the rocks in front of the Markulis, that would be the Ke'ein Zvicha, that would be like shechting the rocks in front of the Markulis, and that would be Chayav, similar to breaking the makel in front of the Avodah Zarah's worship through a makel. But over here, the normal worship, the Nevodah Avodah of a Markulus is to throw the stones or the rocks at the Markulus. So true, that's a problem in Avodah Zarah. When you throw the rock, or one throws the rock at the, or the stone at the Avodah Zarah, he'd be worshiping the Avodah Zarah. Question is, the stones themselves, why are you chayab? You haven't done any action to the stones, like breaking them. As opposed to here, we see by the makel, when you break it, you shecht it, then it's neseret, it becomes a sur. On the other hand, when you just throw the makel, you might be chayav for worshipping it, but you are not chayav for, or it does not become neseret, it's not a surah. Now why is that? So Rashi points out over here the distinction. This is an Avodah Zarah where they do worship it by throwing the staff at the Avodah Zarah. So when it comes to being chayav for worshipping Avodah Zarah, when you throw the staff at it, you are chayav. Neseret has to be tikrovet Avodah Zarah. Tikrovet Zarah means it's something that is offered up and worship the Avodah Zarah is worshipped or offered by this item. Now tikrovet Avodah Zarah is only true when it's Ke'ein Pnim, when it's similar to that which is done inside the Mikdash, then it's Tikrovet Avodah Zarah. So then, to classify or to get at that qualification of Avodah Zarah, we need, or tikrov b'davar zara, we need it to be keim pnim. So now we said, that's true. Okay, but zrika, where he throws a staff, he might be chayav b'davar zara. But on the other hand, he will not be chayav because it's not tikrov et keim pnim, and therefore he will not be neseret. So when that happened, Rabbi says, okay, well, then tell me about Avnei Markavus. True, when he throws the rock or the stone at the Markavus, he's chayav for Avodah Zarah. But if he doesn't break the rock or doesn't somehow crush the rock in front of the Avodah Bei Markavus, then he's lacking Ke'en Pnim. He's lacking Ke'en Pnim, then it's not Neseret. So why are the stones, rocks found around the Markavus? Asurim. So it says, Rabbi Nachman says, I'm related after the Dikashli, I had the same problem. B'shalti al Rabba Baravua. I asked Rabbi Barav, the Chaya Barav. So they all, it went on a shoshel, they got back to Rav, and they asked the question to Rav. Ramalei Naseh Kimagadel Abodat Kuchavim. The problem by Markulus is something that we already discussed yesterday, which is that when the stones are thrown at the Markulus, they become a larger Markulus, right? It's an expansion of the Avodah Zarah. Markulus is not simply the original three stones that were placed as a Markulus, but every stone in this road makes it into a bigger and bigger Avodah Zarah. They are added in to the Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says, Hanich l'manda amar barak kochavim shel ovid kochavim asura miyad. That's true. Okay, that works well according to the one who says that when a ovid kochavim does something, is makriv something, or adds something to Avodah Zarah, makes it, designates it for Avodah Zarah, it's asura miyad, it's asur right away. L'manda amar achid te'aved, until it's worshipped, tishtare, that should be mutar to halo palcha. So let's look at this. You have a large Markulus over here. The person throws a stone. The Ovid Zarah throws a stone at it. Now, his stone now becomes an additional stone added onto all the stones that are there. So he's now designated that stone to be Avodah Zarah. But that's only true according to the one who says that it becomes Avodah Zarah immediately. According to the one who requires you to worship the stone before it becomes Avodah Zarah, nobody's worshipped the additional stone that he placed there. So that additional stone that he placed there has yet to get the status of Avodah Zarah. It's true, it's been added, but according to the Mandamo, who says that's not enough. You need someone to worship it to be Avodah Zarah. That's lacking over here. So Malay, kol achat v'achat, each stone, nasit Avodah Kuchavim, becomes an expansion of the Avodah Zarah, the Markulus, v'tikrove the chavirta. And it's also a service to the stone in front of it. So now you have each stone that is thrown there, which is basically what we've seen until this point, which is our assumption, is that when you throw the stone, that stone is a worship of the existing stones that are there. So that becomes a tikrovet, because it's worshiping the stones that are there. In addition, it itself becomes an expansion of the Avodah Zarah. So it serves two functions. The stone that is thrown there is two functions. One function is, it's worshiping all the existing stones that are there. The second function is that now it expands the Avodah Zarah itself. So it says, okay, if that's true, but shraita miyat tishtare. The last stone that is thrown there at least should be mutar. Why? The last stone that is thrown there, it was tikrovet. It was worshipping all the previous stones. So therefore, it creates that all the previous stones that were there are now designated as Avodah Zarah, because now someone's worshipped the other stones. So everything there is worshipped Avodah Zarah. This stone itself has now been added to the pile, and it should become Avodah Zarah too. What is it lacking? It's lacking the fact that nobody worshipped that stone. So now he says, okay, if that's the case, that last stone that was thrown should be mutar. Why? If you want to say it's tikrovet Avodah Zarah, it's used to worship Avodah Zarah, it's lacking Ke'en Pnim. It wasn't done Ke'en Pnim. It wasn't shattered or broken. So that lacks Ke'en Pnim. You want to say now it's Avodah Zarah. We're now talking glory according to the Mandamru, who says it's only Avodah Zarah once it's worshipped. That stone has not been worshipped yet. So the last stone should be mutar. So you know what his response was? Amalei, yadatla, zoshakla. Says, if you know which one's the last stone, go take it. I mean, how are you going to know, if you come to a pile of rocks in front of Markulus, how are you going to know which one's the last stone that was thrown there? You're not going to know which one. But if you did know, go ahead and take it. According to that Manda Omar, that's not a problem. Ravashi solves the problem a different way. Amar, kol achav achad nasid tikrovet latzma, v'tikrovet l'chaverta. So that Ravashi solves the problem by saying that each stone actually has a dual function, but a bigger function than we thought before. Number one is, every stone that's thrown there is an addition to the Avodah Zarah. But each stone is also a tikrovet, worshipping every stone that's there, but also itself. Since it now becomes a part of the Avodah Zarah, it's also worshipping itself, and it has that dual function of worshipping itself and becoming a part of the Avodah Zarah.
So by doing that, you solve the problem, because now the stone was actually worshipped by itself. I mean, the stone itself worshipped itself in that way, and therefore it'll become a surah right away, and you won't have any stone that is muteret. So that's how Rav Ashi solved the problem, said that there'll be nothing that is muteret over here. Right now we have tznan. We have mishnah. Matzah, which we're going to get to. Matzah b'roshol ksut uma'ot. Found on top of the head of the Avodah Zarah, found clothing, or money, o kelim, or utensils. Harelu mutarim. All those are fine. Parchilei anavim, he found bunches or a cluster of grapes. Ve'atarot shel shibolim, he found some sort of crown or wreath of ears of grain or sheaves that were around the Avodah Zarah. Or those, or he found yenot, or shmanim, found wines, or oils, v'siltot, or flour, kol davar shekiyotzebo karev legabe mizbeach, any item that normally would be brought on the mizbeach, asur, that would be asur. So we look at all the items on the first part of the Mishnah, ksut, ma'ot, kelim, are not items that are offered up to the mizbeach, so those are, right, mutarot, those are fine to take. Then they had items that are meant in the latter half of this Mishnah, which are anavim, right, shibolim, wines, oils, flour, all of those which are brought on the mizbeach, those are asurot. Bishloma, yenot, shmanim, besiltot. When you're talking about wines, oils, and flour, ika ke'im pnim. Those are ke'im pnim. They're similar to what's done inside. Ve'ika ke'im zrika mishtaberet. And they also can be offered up in a way or sprinkled in a way that they diffuse or disperse because they are liquids. When you're talking about wines, when you're talking about oils, and when you're talking about siltot, you're talking about solid, so it's fine flour. When you throw it, you give it to there, it can be disperses. When we're talking about clusters of grapes, or wreaths, or crowns of, right, ears of grain, or sheaves, over here, when they're offered up, they don't disperse, they don't diffuse. So, that's not normally brought, bifnim. Those aren't brought in mizbech. You don't bring clusters of grapes on the Mizbeach. You don't bring full sheaves onto the Mizbeach. And even if you brought these items here, they're not in Kain Pnim. They're not similar to what's done in the Mizbeach because they don't disperse. They don't diffuse. So Amar Rav, Amar Ulo, Kugon Shebotzram Mitchila Lekach, where he picked them for that purpose. Now, I have to say that this doesn't necessarily resonate with me, but at least here, this is what the Gemara says. Rashi says, what do you mean? Batzram Mitchila Lekach. When you pick them, that picking is worshipping of the Avodah Zarah. The picking is like breaking the staff. When you pick it off the tree, that severing is the equivalent of a shchita or a zrika, and that severing is what creates the isur over here. Now, to me, what's difficult, maybe if the tree is growing right in front of the Avodah Zarah, or the vine's right in front of it, I can understand. You pick it, the Shem Avodah Zarah, so you'd be severing it right in front of the Zarah. But what the suggestion over here is that even in a, you know, in some vineyard, you go in there and you pluck off a cluster of grapes, the Shem Avodah Zarah, that you're going to be given to the Avodah Zarah, that's already kalinei ka'in zvicha. Everybody has like a status like zvicha, as if it's been severed and neshechted in front of the Avodah Zarah in that way. So I think there's some distance here, which you have to mentally get over, but that's the Gemara's suggestion at this point in time, is that's what creates the ka'in pnim here, and that's what creates the zvicha here, is that you're like a shechting by severing it from the tree or cutting it from the ground. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin lezoveach behema balat mum labdat chumim shu patur. So now we're talking about a case here where it's not necessarily the way that you worship the Avodah Zarah to bring behemot or to shech them here. Now we know that when it comes to Avodot Pnim, the four Avodot that you do Bifnim, that it doesn't matter where you do them. Either any Avodah Zarah that you worship in a certain manner, if you do that, then you're Chayav. We also said that even if you do the four Avodot Pnim, if you shech an animal, you zrika dadam, right, all those types of things that you do on the Mizbeach, if you do that in front of any Avodah Zarah, you're also Chayav, because those four Avodot that are done Bifnim, in terms of a Korban, right, your Makriv, the Korban, all those items are significant actions, of worshipping that the Torah calls to be, or calls Avodah, therefore they're done in front of any Avodah Zarah, you're Chayav. So over here, if you shechted, if one shechted an animal, a healthy animal, in front of an Avodah Zarah, they'd be Chayav. But over here, what do you do? So this would not go on the Mizbeach. This is a behemoth, it's not really to end up on the Mizbeach. It is shechting it. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Patur, Shnemar, Zoveach Elohim Yacharam, Bilti Lashem Levado. So, the Oasra Torah, Elohim Pidim. Zoveach Elohim Yacharam. When is it a problem of Zoveach Elohim Yacharam, to Abod Zarah? Bilti Lashem Levado, when it otherwise could be used for Hashem. But over here, the Balad Mum will not end up for Hashem, so therefore there's no Zoveach Elohim Yacharam. So you don't have the comparison. So, Oasra Elohim Pidim. Aviba Robert queried over here. What are we talking about here? What type of mum are we talking about here? Ilema bedokin shibayin. We're talking about some sort of mum in the eye where there's a break or a piercing through of the pupil of the eye, cut through the eye. Hashtel b'nei noach chazio. Right, the gevoa b'bamad didhu avod kochavim ibaye. For a ben noach, and we're going to see this in a second, that a ben noach, when it comes to mumim, the only problem by a ben noach is a mechuser eber. If it's missing a limb, then they cannot bring it. For a Jew, there are other mumim that are also problematic. One of those that is the difference between us and the ben noach is a dokin shibayin, some sort of a line through the eye, a white line that cuts through the pupil, or a line through the eye, dokin shibayin. Over there, those mumim are mumim that for us would be problematic in terms of bringing an animal on the Mizbeach. For ben noach, they are not problematic, not ben haTorah, they're not, and they themselves don't view it as problematic in terms of a mum. That's actually the story in Gittin of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. That's exactly the mum that he placed in it was a Dokin Shibayim, where he knew the Chachamim would not allow that on the Mizbeach. It was a mum they wouldn't play it on the Mizbeach, but yet the Romans would be, or the enemy would assume that it should have gone on the Mizbeach. It was a good Korban, and they used that Dokin Shibayim, right? And that's where they say, Nubantunoto, Shel. Was it Ben Abtulamus was the one that caused the fact that the Korban Abayit, because he wouldn't allow it on, even though it was just a mum that was also for Ben, also for us, but not for Ben Noach. But that's exactly what they have here. So that's what Rabbi says. Are we talking about a Dokin Shibayin? That can't be the case. For Ben Noach, they would put on a Boma. So if they put on a Boma, then when they do it, or when you worship for the Avodah Zarah with it, certainly that should be sufficient. Elav and Mechusa Eivir. Must be that it's missing a limb over here. Uchad Rabbi Elazar, Damar Rabbi Elazar, Mian, Mechusa Eivir, Shehu Asur Ben Noach. How do we know this week's Parsha? How do we know that a Mechusa Eivir is no good for a Ben Noach to be Makrif? And Rashi, if you remember Rashi, the original Sugi that we did this back on Hayom Bet and Bob Ben Aleph, Rashi over there says that they usurped the laws that are normal Avoda, and they brought them to Avodah Zarah. Being that, over a course, the Torah is not talking about how you worship Avodah Zarah, when it says you can't use a Mechusa Eivir. They're talking about a Ben Noach. How does a Ben Noach worship Hashem? So over there it says that a Mechusa Eivir is problematic. So those dinim of Mechusa Eivir, they also lifted and brought over to their Avodah Zarah, that they will not be Makri and Mechusa Eivir. So how do we know that a Mechusa Eivir Shua Asur Ben Noach? Shenemar, in this week's parasha, Mikol Achai, Mikol Basar, Shnai Mikol. Amra Torah, Have Beimah Shechayin Ushevarim Shela. That you have to bring a Beimah that its limbs, the ends of its limbs, the limbs are intact on it. So Mer says, Hi, Mikol Chai Mibayle, the Mutei Treifa. What do you mean? We need Mikol Chai, that person, to teach me something else. To teach me that you can't bring a Treifa. That we need Mikol Chai, it has to be alive. So no, Mechayot Zera Nafka, we can learn that out from another description of the animals that were here, which is Mechayot Zera, that they have the ability to reproduce. That's good, going to one who says a treifa cannot reproduce. Going to one who says a treifa can reproduce, that qualification of a chayot zera will not limit you to only healthy animals. It would also include a treifa. It's Michael Meimar. Amakra itcha. Itcha b'domim lecha. Says by Noah that he has to bring in the animals with you into the teva. Itcha means similar to you. So Mar says, and this we had the Gemara, Doma Noah kufe treifa haba. Maybe Noach himself is a treifa. He says, bring an animal similar to you, just like you, Noach, you're a treifa. So bring an animal that are a treifa. So it says, Tamim Ktiv Bei. It says about Noach, right? Noach each tzaddik. Aya Tamim Aya B'dorotav. Say, so, Tamim. Tamim means that he's whole. So it says, Dilma Tamim B'drachov. Maybe Tamim doesn't mean that he's whole in body, but whole in his ways. So it says, Tzaddik Ktiv Bei. We already have that from the word tzaddik. So Dilma Tamim b'drachav, v'tzadik b'masov. Tamim in his ways, tzadik in his actions. So that can't be the description of Behemah. So Gemara says, no. Lo matzit amart, the Noach kufe treifa ava. Can't say that Noach is a treifa. Disak adatcha, Noach treifa ava. If you really think that Noach's a treifa, amalei rachmana, de kavatach ayo, shlemim lo tayo. What's the suggestion over here? That's why I also before said to you, maybe there's an Avodah Zarah that you worship with the Balei Mum. I mean, why would you have an Avodah Zarah that you only worship with the Balei Mum and not with whole animals? Like, that's doesn't make any sense. Also over here, why would you have Noach's a treifa? So what would you say? Only bring in animals that are treifa like you. Don't bring in healthy animals. That makes no sense. Why would Hashem bring in itcha b'domim lecha, bring in animals that are similar to you because he's a treifa? That would make no sense. Why would Hashem make such a qualification? That makes it. Of course you should bring in shleimim. Alright, if you're a treifah, you can also bring in treifah. But to make the demand that he only bring in treifah, that doesn't make any sense over here. So now the Gemara says, okay, hashu nafka mitcha. Now that I already learned out from mitcha that we don't have treifah, now I have the psukim of a chayot zera. What do I do with that? The chayot zera lamali. What do I need that for? Gemara says, if it's from Yitcho, Avamina Letzavto Ba'almo, that was just to keep Noach company in the Teva, right, or to bring in animals into the Teva. Vafilu Zakein, Vafilu Saris. Even if it's an older animal, or an animal that was Saris, which therefore cannot reproduce, since it can't reproduce, it may not be a Trefa, but it also cannot be, it's not reproductive. Kamashvon, Chayot Zera, that you need Chayot Zera. So therefore, you'll need all three psukim over here. You have itcha b'domim lecha to teach you no treifa; it has to be a shalem. Number two is achayot zera will teach you that it has to be reproductive. That it, not only is the purpose of this animal that it won't die, but it also will be an animal that can reproduce once it leaves the teva. Achayot zera. The last one, mikol achay, teaches me that an animal that is mechuser eiver is not good for a ben Noach to put on in Mizbeach. How do we know that? Because what did ben Noach do? Well, what was the purpose of the animals that Noach brought onto the Teva? Hashem said, well, the behemot Torot were used for Karbanot after he left the Teva. So Mikol Achai, the qualification of such an animal is that it must be full. It may not be missing any eiver. So here we know that a ben Noach, right, has a demand on them that they may not be mechuser eiver. So now, when they talk about it over here, the Bnei Noach, Rashi mentions over here, Kozman Shlo Nidna Torah, Yisrael Nikru Bnei Noach. Until the Torah was given, even the Yisrael were called Bnei Noach. So that what it means over here, when we're talking about these Bnei Noach over here, this is a qualification also for Klal Yisrael until the Torah is given, where the specific movement were laid out. But at least until that point in time, any Bnei Noach or Yisrael was demanded that there won't be any Mechuser Eiver that is brought on to the which is brought onto a Mizbeach or offered to Hashem. Again, they usurped that for Avodah Zarah. So the Balat Mum that we're talking about here, that Rabbi Yochanan says, if you bring a Balat Mum in front of Avodah Zarah, you shecht an animal, not qualified, that's a Mechuser Eiver, something that would not be qualified for their own Mizbechot, or that would not qualify for their Avodah Zarah. That's not considered Avodat Pnim, it's lacking Avodat Pnim, or Tikrovit Avodah Zarah, because it's not Ke'im Pnim, and therefore you would be Patur, and obviously the animal would not be Neaseret. And now, next Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Minayin L'Shuchei Be'ima L'Markeg L'Shuchaya. So now we have the other. What happens if you do shech the full-fledged, healthy animal to the Markelus? How do I know you're Chayav? So this comes back to the discussion that we had before, which is that when you worship the Avodah Zarah Darka, what's the Darka Markelus? To throw a stone at it, throw a rock at it. If you do that, then you're Chayav. How do I know that if you also shech the animal, which is something that's done inside the Mikdash, how do I know that that also makes you chayav? Shenemar, v'lo yizbichu od et zivcheyem lesi'irim. So it says you will not worship, give your zivcheyem, that which could be brought bifnim, lesi'irim, that will be given to others, the outside forces, to the Avodah Zarah. Imeinu inyan l'dekadarka, if it's not for the normal way of worshiping Avodah Zarah, dichtiv, because that we already have from Devarim, mechayav to agoyim elet eloheihem. Right, you'll say, how do they worship their Avodah Zarah? And you'll try to emulate them. That's obviously talking about the derech to worship their Avodah Zarah. So since we already have an isur against worshiping Avodah Zarah in the normal way that it's worshipped, it's now in the Shlokadarko. They say here, the pasuk that we're talking about in Vayikra, in Parshat Achrim, that must be referring to something that is, even though it's not the normal way to worship it, nevertheless, it's something that could have been done inside the Mikdash. If you do it in front of the Avodah Zarah, you're going to be chayav. That's what this pasuk is for. We need this, right? For the bright, where's the bright? Adkan who medaber biktoshim shikti sham b'shati surah b'mot. The beginning of Parshat Achrimot, after you have the avodah that we read on Yom Kippurim, at the end of the parsha you have the Parshat Harayot. Right? What do you have in between? You have shchutei chutz. That's what this parsha is talking about. It's talking about shchutei chutz. You're not allowed to shecht items that should be brought in the Mikdash. You're not allowed to shecht them outside the Mikdash. Not to Avodah Zarah, just shchutei chutz. Now, you can have shkutei chutz in two ways. That's what the Gemara is about to discuss. You have kodshim, something that was mukdash lemizbeach, they have to go into the mikdash, and instead of bringing it to the mikdash, what do? You makriv it outside the mikdash. That's shkutei chutz. There's another possibility, which the Gemara is going to discuss now, is that there's a period of transition, which is that at some point in time in Jewish history, bamot were mutarot. You were allowed to bring animals, you're allowed to have mizbeach in your backyard, and you makriv animals in your backyard. There were times where there were Isra Bamot, times when it was not allowed to bring brought it, you had to bring it into the Mikdash or the Mishkan. So what happens if an individual was Makdish an animal at the time by Heter Bamot? Time when it was Mutar to be Makriv in his backyard. He's planning a big party, right? And a week from now he puts up the Mizbech in his backyard, he Makdish the animal, that's going to be for the animal for the party that we're going to have in the backyard. Meantime, they put the Mikdash or the Mishkan goes into effect, or goes into place, goes into service, before he's able to have his party. That animal that was Mukdash now has to be brought to the Mikdash or the Mishkan. It cannot be Mukrav, not make Makriv it in your backyard. But those are two different instances of Shchutei Chutz. One is where you were Makdish it at the time of the existence of the Mishkan and Mikdash, and then you Makriv it outside the Mikdash. The other one is where you were Makdish it at a time where it was okay to bring it outside the Mikdash. But then the Mikdash and Mishkan were built, and now you have to bring it to the Mikdash or the Mishkan. How do I know those are both us wrote? That's what the Mar is talking about now. That's something where he was Makdish them at Isra Bamot, Vikrivam Bishat Isra Bamot. And then he was Makriv them at a time of Isra Bamot. They were both Makdishit when the Mishkan and the Mishkash were standing. And, right, you shefted it outside in that time. Shari Unshan Amor. There the punishment's obvious. Shinemar, the Petah Homoe Loivio. Don't bring it to the Mikdash. Right, then what's the punishment? Is that correct? Onesh shamamu. That we know the onesh. As harami nayim. Where do we know the, where's the warning from? Tamalomar, pentalo lotecha. That maybe you'll bring your lotecha everywhere you want, anywhere you want. No, you have to bring them up to the makom Sharif Char Hashem, the place that Hashem chooses. So we have a warning. You must bring your korbanot to the Mikdash and Mishkan. Number two is, if you don't bring them there, you are going to be a petach mei lo yivo. You're going to get a punishment of karet. But that's talking about something where you were makdish the animal when the Mishkan and Mikdash existed, and then you went ahead and was makriv it outside of the Mishkan or the Mikdash. So when it says pen tale olotecha, maybe you will bring your olot outside the Mikdash. Pen, there is a olotase. And one may not bring their olot outside of the Mikdash. Then you have the punishment. From here onward, this is something that was makdish at the time where it was mutar to make makriv outside of the Mikdash. But then he put it on the bama b'shat isra b'mot. Already at a time when the Mikdash and Mishkan were built. Shinemar, the man asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael zivchayem asher simchim. Right, so what does that mean? The man yaviu b'nei Yisrael zivchayem asher imzovchim. Those are what? Tied to the chakvar. That which is already mutar. What do you mean it was already mutar? Well, it was already mutar because you were makdishit at the time that it was mutar to bring it on the bama. Nevertheless, the man asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael zivchayem, you must bring your zevach to the mikdash, asherim zovchim, even though it was something that you could have been makriv outside the mikdash when you were makdishit. Nevertheless, shekhar tegval p'nei asadeh, what does it mean p'nei asadeh? Melamed shekhol zovach b'bama b'shat isra b'mot malei alav ha-kotuv kilu zovach p'nei asadeh. Anybody who brings a korban at the time of Isra Bamot, even if it was Mukdash with Nehain, it's considered if you bring it up in Asadet, you brought it out on the field. Ve'vi'um la'Hashem, you must bring those korbanot to Hashem, zu mitzvah tasei. Right? Now, what is that? Mitzvah lo tasei minayin, how do I know that you may not do this? You have mitzvah lo tasei minayin, lo yizbichu od zivichayim, which is the pasuk that we just used. Lo yizbichu od zivichayim la'sirim. That's the pasuk. So what do you see from here? Where do they bring a lav? The lav for bringing a korban outside the mikdash that was mukdash before the mikdash, before the mishkan were existing, that lav is goyiz b'chulot, it's b'chem l'sirim. That's where it comes from. So you wanted to use that to teach me that you're not allowed to be makriv a korban, that is, or an animal to a avodah zarah, that's avodah taz shloh b'kach, like your makriv, you shecht an animal to the makulus, which isn't its avodah b'kach, I wanted to learn that for goyiz b'chulot, it's b'chem, I need that pasuk for this. For an Isra of Shchutei Chutz, by something that was Mukdash before the Mikdash Mishkan were built, and then was Mukrav after they were built. So how could you use it for this? Yochai Yeonosh Karet, I would think in this case the Yeonosh is Karet, Amalom Rechuka Olam Tiyeh Zot Lahem. Zot Lahem Lo Acheret Lahem. So actually there is a distinction between these two cases of Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz where it was you Makdish it, and you Makriv it at the time that the Mishkan and the Mikdash exist, the punishment for that is Karet. You will get Karet for that. On the other hand, if one is makdishit b'shat heter abamot, and then is makrivit in shchut eichut outside the mikdash, the time that the mikdash and the mishkan exists, at the time of isur abamot, over there you're over a lav and an asay, but you will not get karet in that case. In that case, you will not get karet. Now the Gemara says, okay, now we're left with a problem. How do I know that if you're makriv a korban, if you shecht a korban, to, or shecht an animal to the markalus, that you're chayav? Where do I know that from? So Gemara says, I have the answer for you. Amarova, kari bey v'lo yizbichu, v'kari bey v'lo od. The pasuk is written v'lo yizbichu od, right? The zivchayim lasirim, that you can't lo yizbichu od. So what does it mean od? Od is extraneous word over here. So lo yizbichu od et zivchayim lasirim. You could have just written lo yizbichu et zivchayim lasirim. What does it mean od? Od means that it's something may no longer may. You no longer may. So that word od is what teaches us about the shkut eichut. And that's what Rava says. I can learn both lav and mal from here. I can learn out that the lo can go on both items. Kari bei lo yizbichu. Lo yizbichu is the restriction. You may not bring lo yizchiru et zivchayim lasirim. You may not bring lo yizbichu something that would have gone bifnim. You not, may not do it lasirim to avodah zarah. Now, what about the other one? V'lo od. Right, that is the shchut eichut. That's what I also learned from this. V'kari bei v'lo od. Lo od means you may no longer may bring this as a korban. What does it mean, you may no longer bring it as a korban? Something that normally could have been brought on a bama, you know, may no longer bring it over here. That's v'lo od. So I can learn both these serim, because the word od is extraneous. So I'll learn lo yizbichu and read it without od. That'll teach me about shchita to avodah zarah, even though it's avodah zarah shelo bekach. Right? And v'lo od will teach me no longer may you bring this outside on the bama. That'll teach me about shchut eichutz, about something that was mukdash b'heter abamot, and then shechted b'shat isur abamot, that is also isur lav. We'll learn out from this pasuk. So we'll learn both isurim from this pasuk over here. New Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that we just quoted before to start off this Gemara, which was matzah b'rosho ma'ot ksut okelim. If one finds on his the head of the avodah zarah monies, clothing or utensils, are mutarim. Bachilei avanim, clusters or groups, a group of grapes. Batarot shel shibalim, a wreath or a crown of ears of grain or sheaves. Vienot ushmanim, wines, right? Oil, sultot, and flour. Chodavar shiotzibo karev al gamizbech asur. Anything that is brought on the mizbech, that is asur. So we mentioned before the Gemara had to deal with parchilei amanim v'terot shibalim. They had to do, how does that mukrav al mizbech? So the Gemara answered that it was picked for that purpose. Right? Shaul told us that also the Ran, which makes a lot of sense. I would have assumed that this is a bikurim. Also, these are items that are brought up for bikurim. So when you pick them, the shame of what is right. It's also like when you're picking them, the shame bikurim. That's what you do. Bikurim. You cover them up and you pick them l'shem bikurim, they're assigned the kedushat bikurim. So it's over here. Maybe when you pick them l'shem bikurim to the avodah zarah, it has that same status. So now Gemara says, minahani milet. Where do we know this from? One pasuk says, by avodah zarah v'tiru et shikutzeihem v'et gilulayhem etz v'evin kesef v'zahav asher yimayhem, that you're going to see with the avodah zarah, along with the avodah zarah, etz v'evin, right, wood and stone, kesef zav, silver and gold, asher imahem, that are along with them. Ch'tuv achad omer, and another pasuk says, lo tachmod kesef zav aleihem. Don't be jealous of the kesef and the zav, the gold and silver that's on them. So how ketzav, what's the story over here? So there are two differences between the psukim. One pasuk says, eitz even kesef zav, has four different items, right? It has both items that are not valuable and items that are valuable. One pasuk has only kesef zahav, only has valuable items, gold and silver. The other difference between the psukim is one says aleihem, on them, and one says imahem, with them. So how ketzad? How do I reconcile between these two psukim? Imahem, dumiyad aleihem. That is with them has to be similar to what's on them. Ma'alehem, what's on them, davar shel noy, has to be something that adorns them, asur. Shenu shel noy, mutar. That which is not adorning is mutar. And that's why it says by the pasuk, go tachmol kesef zahav aleihem. Aleihem is something that you adorn with. Gold and silver are items that you adorn with. So that which is on them, that only adornments are chayav. Af imahem, so two items that are found with them, davar shonoi asur, sheno shonoi mutar. Something that is adorning, then it is asur. What is not adorning is mutar. So the assumption now is that when we're talking about ksut, kelim, and the ma'ot that are mentioned in the Mishnah, which are mutarim, that they are not used to adorn the avodah zarah. So Mara says, well, why don't you do it the opposite way around? Why don't you learn the lima the other way? Let's say on them, that which is they are wearing is similar to that which is with them. Ma'imahem, komashi imahem. Just like the pasuk imahem says anything. It says gold, silver, stone, and wood. That's anything. So just like anything could be with them, afalehem. Also on them, that would be kol, shalehem. Anything that's on them will be chayav. Mara says, imkein, lo yomar alehem. Then you don't need to say alehem at all. You mean that then the limud has, there's no value to the limud. You don't need the second pasuk whatsoever. You would just say, imahem, something which is with them is gold, silver, stone, and wood. And certainly alehem would be the same thing. The fact that you're chayav imahem, then certainly alehem. You don't need the pasuk of alehem. So the fact that we have the pasuk of alehem teaches you that the limud must go the other way. Now the Gemara says, ma'ot, davar shonoyu. What do you mean? Monies are an adornment. Why over here are you considering money not to be an adornment? So Amrei Debei Rabbi Yanai Bekis Kashur V'Taloi B'Sabaro. It has a money bag that is hanging around its neck. That's not considered an adornment. And when you place the money on them, or maybe that's an adornment, but when you hang a bag around its neck, that's not considered an adornment. Ksud Dabar Shonoyu. A ksut also, clothing is also considered a adornment. Why is that not considered worship material? It's a piece of folded clothing sitting on top of the head of the Avodah Zarah. Kli, davar shel noyhu. Again, a utensil is also a davar shel noy, adornment. Amar Rav Abba, deschif alei, mashkilta areshe. So over here, it's something, an item over here. Rashi says it's a goblet that is turned upside down on top of its head. That's sitting on top of its head. Now, we're not talking about a goblet that fits like a cap on top of its head, but a goblet that's just sitting upside down on top of its head. That is not considered to be an adornment. So, Amar Rav Asi Bar Chiya. Kol shel lifnim min akil kalim, afilu mayim u'melach asur. Anything that is in front of the mechitzot. Around the Avodah Zarah, there were generally michitzot, or some sort of curtains that were around the Avodah Zarah, around the Avodah Zarah. So anything that is inside of the curtains, any item that's found there, afilu mayim u'melach, even water and salt, asur. Rashi says, Rashi explains why, Rashi says, afilu dalol anoyhu, that's not an adornment. The cave and Dain Paniminu have a tikrovit. Anything that's found inside the curtains is definitely stuff that was brought to worship the Avodah Zarah. Because that's why it's found inside that area. So it's not for adornment, not adornment. We don't look whether you adorn or don't adorn with it. There's no qualification over here. It's something that is brought as tikrovet, and therefore it's asur. Chutz the kilkalim, outside this area of the mechitza, or the area of tzniut in there, davar shonoi asur, sheino shonoi mutar. Then we have this qualification, whether it's something that adorns, then it'll be asur. Something that doesn't adorn, that will be mutar. And Rashi says, it's on the outside the kilkalim, the reason that you are qualified is because it's not tikrovet anymore. It's not something that you normally worship Avodah Zarah with. And therefore, we have this distinction between whether it's noy or not noy, whether it's an adornment or not an adornment. Wow. Tosa says no, that both are a problem with tikrovet. Both inside the curtains and outside the curtains are a problem, or inside the mechitzot, outside the mechitzot are a problem with tikrovet. Just that inside the curtains, everything is considered tikrovet Avodah Zarah. Outside, something that is an adornment is considered a tikrovet. Something that's not an adornment is not considered a tikrovet. So the difference between Rashi and Tosa is outside the kilkalim, outside the curtains. Why is it a sur? Rashi says it's an adornment. And so that's learned from the pasuk, asher imahem, things that are with them. Since it's an adornment outside the kilkalim, that's also a sur. Whereas Tosa says, no, it's tikrovet. It's actually worshiping the Avodah Zarah. And that's what the isur is over here. The Amar of Yosef Berchanina, Natinan, we learn, in kilkalim, lo depor, velo de markulus. There's no curtains or no mechitzot when it comes to pa'ur and markulus. So lamai, what does that mean? Ilim edafilu pnim chichutz, tell me that even inside is like outside, vishari, and it's mutar. And then, because actually pa'urim mifarin kameh, over here they defecate in front of it. Mayim, right? Mayim u'melach lo makrivinle, then they wouldn't worship it with water and salt. If they're willing to worship it with excrement and defecating in front of it, certainly then water and salt should qualify. That the idea or the concept of putting up curtains or mechitzot around Avodah Zarah is for tzniut. It's an idea of tzniut, and that's why something inside is different than outside. Over here, where the whole worship is a lack of tzniut, it's defecating in front of it, then afilu chutz kivnim dami. Over there, the outside is just like the inside in asur. Everything's asur. Everything, no matter whether it's inside or outside, anything that is brought before this Avodah Zarah is considered, according to Tosu, tikrovet. According to Rashi, is considered lenoi, and it is a problem of imahem, because Because there is no tzniut here. There's no defined boundaries around this avodah zarah. Since there's no defined boundaries around this avodah, because there is no tzniut about it, you're mefarer before that, you will defecate in front of it. Therefore, everything is considered worshipping this avodah zarah. All right, next Mishnah. Avodah kochavim she'allah gina, a avodah zarah that has a garden to it, or a merchatz, or a bathhouse to it, ne'neh mehen shelo b'tova. You're allowed to get benefit from them, shelo b'tova. Over here, shelo b'tova means that you do not, Rashi claims, you do not pay the komrim, you do not pay the priests of avodah zarah for the usage of the gina or the bathhouse. What's interesting is that Rashi on Mem Dalet Amud Bet said shelo b'tova means that you do not thank them, you do not give them praise. So over here, Rashi says shelo b'tova means literally paying them or giving them schar. Because Rashi back on Mem Dalet Amud Bet, when we quoted shelo b'tova, Rashi says over there that it means lo yachzik tova lekomrim, that you should not give compliments or thank the priests. So it's an interesting distinction over here between Rashi, whether it literally means to pay, or Rashi back on Mem Dalet Amud Bet, where it means to give thanks to them or praise them for this benefit. All right, so now, shelo b'tova, ve'enen imimem b'tova, but you're not allowed to give them thanks, at least according to Rashi and Mem Dalet over here. Rashi over here, you're not allowed to pay them. Hayashala v'shelachamim, if it was joint ownership between the avodah zarah and someone else, then imen ben b'tova or ben or shelo b'tova, it doesn't matter. There, according to Rashi over here, you can pay them or not pay them because it's a joint ownership. Or according to Rashi before, you can give compliments or thank them for it. Avodah chovim shelo avodah chovim asura miyad. Avodah zarah and ovid avodah zarah is asur right away. Shel Yisrael and Yisrael should tei aved. Jews, avodah zarah is only asur once they worship it. Amar Abaye. B'tova, b'tovat korim. Shlo b'tova, shlo b'tovat korim. When we're talking about thanking the avodah zarah here, we're talking about the priests themselves and not the worshippers. Lafuke tovat ovdeha tishari. That to exclude over here the benefit given to its worshippers. So now, when Abaye says this, according to Rashi, Amim Dawud Abed, that means you cannot give compliments to the priests, but you give compliments to the worshippers. Rashi over here says you're not allowed to pay money or fees to the Kohen, to the priest, but you're allowed to pay small fees to the worshippers of this Avodah Zarah. You're allowed to pay them money. That's what Rashi says over here. That's the distinction that Abaye is making. Ike the Madli Noah say, for some write that on the second half of our Mishnah, Hayash Shalav V'Shalachim, when it was joint ownership, Ne'enim Be'en B'tova V'Shalob B'tova. And Rabbi B'tova B'tovat Acherim, Shlo b'tova, shlo b'tovat komrim. Tovat acherim means others, meaning that non-priests. Shlo b'tovat komrim. Man de matnei seifa, the one who says about the seifa, koshkin a reisha, certainly would say it about the reisha. Man de matnei a reisha, one who writes on the reisha, about the seifa, came to ikah acherim badaf, ilu b'tovat komrim, nami shabridami. One who writes a qualification that we're talking about the komrim in the first half of the Mishnah, maybe in the second half of the Mishnah, you're allowed to give thanks to the komrim, because there's joint ownership. When it's singular ownership of the avodah zarah, then you can't compliment or pay the komrim. But when it's joint ownership, maybe you could even pay the komrim. So that's if you read a bias qualification on the ratio. If you read a bias qualification on the seifa, that means that, and of course, in the first half, you would also read it that you're not allowed to pay the komrim. If you're not allowed to pay the komrim in the seifa, then certainly you can't pay the komrim in the ratio. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Kiva, he must be Rabbi Kiva, the Tanya. You must wipe out, destroy all the places where they worshipped. The pasuk speaking about utensils that were used towards Avodah Zarah. Had you made them, but they were not completed. Gamrum, he finished them, they didn't bring them to the Avodah Zarah. He brought them to the Avodah Zarah, but they didn't use them yet for Avodah Zarah. You think to be Asur Tamalomar, Asher Avdu Shama Goyim. It's only Asur once they worshipped him. Mikanam Ru, from here you say Avodah Kochavim Shalodah Kochavim in Asurah, Shetei Aveit. The Avodah Zarah of an Ovid Avodah Zarah is only Asur when he uses it. Mishal Yisrael Asurah Miyad. A Jew's Avodah Zarah is Asur right away. Tivrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, exact opposite of our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Chiluf Tvarim. Just the opposite. Avodah Kochavim Shalodah Kochavim Asurah Miyad. That's right away. Mishal Yisrael Ad Shetei Aveit. But Yisrael is until he worships it over here. So Rabbi Yehuda learns exactly the opposite, and the Gemara coming up will explain that. We're going to stop over here because now the Gemara is going to dissect the Braita that we just brought, which is going to take us into tomorrow's daf. But of course, Rabbi Kiva is the author of our Mishnah because he reconciles or is consistent with our Mishnah that Avodah Zarah and Ovid Avodah Zarah is only is a sword right away, where the Jews of Avodah Zarah is only after a period of time that he worships it, meaning that he has to actually worship it. If he just makes it, that's not enough. We'll stop over here.